Welcome to the Word and Story podcast for April 22nd. I'm Dr. David Phillips. Glad to have you. Today we're going to look at the story of the Good Shepherd from John chapter 10. We'll be back in a moment. So hello, hope you're doing well, hope you've had a good week, and hope you're ready to look at the text, the lectionary text this week from John 10, verses 11 through 18, and this is a really interesting passage. There have been a lot of things that have been preached about this text that I'm not so sure should have been preached, but it's a fascinating passage, and so today I'm just going to kind of work through some things because it's very rich and very deep. But I will read the text because I think that's important. And this is coming from the New Living Translation, which is my preferred reading translation. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me, just as my Father knows me. And I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. The Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily. For I have the authority to lay it down when I want to, and also to take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded." So there's a lot of depth in this text. And so I just want to hit on a few highlights and just talk about some things. Because the focus is not on Jesus per se, but on the flock's responsiveness to the voice of Jesus, to listening to him. And so the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd is based on what the shepherd does, not the sheep. That's also another important point that I think in this happened that Jesus talks about in this text. It's what the shepherd does, what the shepherd does, what the shepherd does, and the sheep respond to that. And as I was thinking about this text, I had this thought pop in my head, and I've kind of thought about it some over the past week or so, and so that thought is this: that our anxieties and insecurities are a product of two things. First is our attempt to try to do things on our own, that we can handle it, we can do it, and the second is a failure to listen to the voice of God, to the voice of the Good Shepherd. And so it's that responsiveness to what Jesus does and says that actually brings us this rich and eternal life. John 10:10, which is right above where this passage begins, this lectionary text begins, "I've come to bring you life. And life more abundant. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life, have a quality of life that is abundant." And so the way that flows is when we listen to the voice of the shepherd and let the shepherd lead us. And I think that's important. Now, there is some deep theology in this text. And here's a couple of things. There is a deep interplay between about the Trinity in this text. Jesus says that compares his relationship to God to his relationship with us, and there is this intermutuality of the Trinity, and it shows a dependency upon each other. Jesus needs God as God needs Jesus, and both need the Spirit just as the Spirit needs the others. There is this dependency built upon relationship, love, and trust. They do it together, just like we do. It's marriage, really. Marriage is the two becoming one, a natural dependency on each needing the other to breathe and to function as a healthy, united one. And Jesus compares the relationship between he and his Father to the relationship between he and those who are his, because he is the good shepherd. Let's talk about shepherding for a minute, or the good shepherd, the kalos shepherd, K-A-L-O-S, which is the Greek word for good. The good shepherd will protect at any cost the followers, those followers who are intimately known to the shepherd. The shepherd will lay down his life. The shepherd will sacrifice his life. That's one of the things that makes him good. Jesus knows the cost of his life, the cost of leading sheep, and he does it. He pays it willingly. This kind of harkens back to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34, it's a lengthy text on shepherding, and in it, the human shepherds of Israel, the kings, have proven to be not very honorable, self-serving, and really they weren't shepherds at all. So God promises to be both shepherd and to set a model shepherd over the people. And it's clear that this is kind of picking up in that, or picking up on that, and placing Jesus at the heart of being the model shepherd. He's that shepherd in two ways. Number one, he cares for the sheep, dying for them and their well-being. And two, his relationship to God's people is the same as and model on his relationship to God. So there's this mutuality, this intermutuality, this inner, it's perichoresis is the Greek word. It's this inner penetration, this moving in and out of one another, flowing together. And that's what makes him the good shepherd, this intimacy and relationship and his willingness to die and sacrifice himself for the sheep. The definition of a shepherd's task is to feed the sheep, to care for their ailments, to keep them gathered together, and to put their well-being before his own. And that's exactly what Jesus did. That's the model, the good model shepherd. And there is an intimacy in this text. That inner mutuality comes through. There is this intimacy. There is a mutual loving, an interconnected life that's so intertwined with Christ. It is the naked and unashamed of Genesis 1, this life of transparency and realness and openness and vulnerability. And that's something we struggle with. We are broken people, and we struggle with being vulnerable, and we transparent and open and real to other people due to that brokenness. We find it. We just struggle with it because we know ourselves too well, and often we don't like ourselves, and so we find it hard to trust. We find it hard to pull back the curtain and let people see who we really are, and there is that intimacy that comes with Christ, the knowing of Christ, and He knows us. He is part of us. Those of us who are His, He's part of us, and He knows those depths. He knows us so well, and so it's not like we are peeling anything back for Him to see. Oftentimes, we're just revealing what we already know to be true to ourselves. Jesus wants that openness and that vulnerability and that realness, that naked and not ashamed. We create virtual communities, virtual versions of ourselves online. These safe profiles to hide our flaws and our brokenness. But Jesus knows. And it's in shining the light on that brokenness, ripping the Band-Aid off, that healing happens and wholeness comes to be. Jesus creates a safe place, a protective place, where that brokenness can be made whole, where our anxieties and our fears can be relieved because we have someone who knows us and cares for us completely, who died for us and accepts us as we are. And because of that, we can let go and be made whole. Jesus, our constant companion, our good shepherd, is always there. And since He knows us already, why don't we just get to know ourselves through His eyes and let Him touch those points of pain so that we can be made whole? Now, there's a phrase in here that is quite interesting. Jesus talks about other sheep that He has to get. And Scripture envisions this gathering of all of God's people under one shepherd. The other sheep, the children of God, include all who believe, and it enlarges that meaning from just the Jews to all people. Everyone can be under the Good Shepherd. So Jesus' death and resurrection expanded the scope of His work as a shepherd to gather, protect, and nurture the flock. And His statements, I must lead them out. Jesus must lead out the other sheep. That tells us that finding and gathering those other sheep completes His work as a shepherd. And that's part of His role and part of what He does even today. He is seeking and saving. He is going after the one and leaving the 99. He is calling others to Him. And that's part of his role. That's part of the role that He is completing as the Good Shepherd. And then there's another theological piece in this text that is interesting to note. Jesus has the authority to lay down His own life, to sacrifice His life as the Good Shepherd. But He also has the authority to take His life up again. That's exactly what He says. I have the authority, I have the power to lay it down when I want to and to take it up again when I want to, when it's ready to happen. Typically, the New Testament says that God raised Jesus from the dead, but here, Jesus is an active agent in his own resurrection. He has the authority to lay it down and take it up again because he has been given life in himself as the Father has life in himself. And so that's the heart of the text this week. Now, if I were to preach this, there's two areas that I would, one primary area I would focus on, and it could be fleshed out theologically. And that's the idea of intimacy, that intertwining of our lives with the life of Christ, our lives with the lives of others, as personal and interline, and then you can tie that into the Trinity and how our relationships are similar. And then I would piggyback on John 10:10 about abundant life, abundant living, and that comes when we listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. We listen for him, we listen to him, and we follow after him and respond to him. That is where the abundant life comes from. It comes from that intimacy, because there is a healing in that intimacy when we shine the light on our brokenness, when we rip off the band-aids of our brokenness and our pain. There is healing there. So there's intimacy, and it's us becoming true to ourselves and who we are, and because Jesus already knows it all. Jesus knows our brokenness. He knows our pain. He is there. He is those of us who are his. He is intimate with us. He knows us, and he's basically just waiting for us to acknowledge it and to seek his help and bringing healing to it. And so in that process, that healing process, our lives not only begin to flourish personally, and we have this abundance, this joyful life locally, but it also creates this quality of life for us as we anticipate eternity in the new heavens and the new earth. And then you can touch on the Trinity from a theological perspective. You can touch on the theology of Jesus being able to, as an agent to his own resurrection. And so that's where I would touch. That's where I would work as I taught and preached this message this weekend. So whether you're listening to this and prepping for Sunday's message, or whether you're just wanting to see what I have to say on the text, I hope you've enjoyed it, and I hope it's been meaningful and pertinent to you this week, and I hope you have a blessed weekend, a wonderful weekend of worship in community with those around you. Amen.